You're listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host, Makisha Madden-Toby. And today's show is a little different than my typical shows. I usually do it in the studio, and Patrick the Engineer makes it sound good, makes me sound good. But this time, I went out in the field, and I interviewed Andrew Zimmern, which is worth the trip. He was in L.A., actually doing a pop-up restaurant as a part of his new show. It's sort of the same show, Bizarre Foods, but it's Bizarre Foods America, which debuts at 10 p.m. January 23rd on the Travel Channel. And what makes this show different than his previous shows is that he's going to do all of the episodes in America. So he's going to do half of the show. It's going to debut or air January through March, and then he'll do the second half, I think in the summer, through August. And then the L.A. pop-up restaurant show, which is where I caught him at Royal Tea in Culver City, California, will air in the summer. And then the Detroit show, which we also talk about, my hometown, Detroit, he talks about sort of what it was like doing the show there. So check it out, and you'll get a lot of ambiance. But it's Andrew Zimmern, and he's awesome.
Once before, I know.
Well, I've done one show here, but right. You know, I've come here six times a year for the last 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because of the food industry and because of the restaurant.
And friends, mm-hmm. And, you know, who doesn't want to come to Southern California? I love Los Angeles. When am I moving here? Yeah.
Where are you from? You're originally from Minneapolis. Are you?
No, I'm originally from New York. Born and raised, lived there for 30 years, okay. And I've lived for the last 20 in Minneapolis. My family is there, my wife, my son.
And so is it a good place to be, like, to live and to fly other places?
Well, it's actually a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. It's an incredible environment. I love the Midwest. I love the upper Midwest. I think it's what used to be flyover country. Mm-hmm. Michigan, the Dakotas, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota is now sort of leading the way with a lot of foodstuffs. I don't know if you... how much of a food geek you are, but everything these days is about canning. It's mm-hmm. about preserving. Mm-hmm. It's about making pies and baking from scratch. Instead of people wanting recipes that have bacon in it, they want to know how to make their own bacon. Mm. And these are things that have come out of the heartland that we've been doing for a long, long time. I think also what's happening outside of New York and Los Angeles and in the interior of the country is some of the most exciting food that's imaginable. Mm-hmm. And as someone who's born and raised in New York, which I still think is the greatest city on the planet and
no
the
bias,
best
right.
and the best food city, it's real cool to be a part of a food environment that is growing so quickly. Mm-hmm. New York is changing all the time.
New York is setting the standard. I mean, they set the
well,
standard,
it's
right?
it's changing all the time. I mean, some other cities are setting the standard. Sometimes New York adopts something and makes it better. I mean, there's so much creativity and velocity in New York. It's mm-hmm. the most exciting place to be, and the most amazing things are happening there. But not every great idea comes out of New York. I mean, that would be disingenuous. It's just not true. And that's why I think to be part of something that's developing and creating, in other words, a food environment like the one in Minneapolis where I live, is very exciting for me.
Yeah.
And our first episode, January 23rd, is in Minneapolis.
Okay, cool. And you're going to Detroit. Now, when is that episode? You
know that's going to be like our third or fourth episode, mm-hmm. I think. I'm blanking on the schedule. I think it's Minneapolis, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. I think it's the fourth one in the season, so end of February.
Why Detroit?
Great stories there, and
had
I wanted.
Had the show been there before?
The show's not been there before. I find Detroit a fascinating place. My show is about exploring culture through food.
Right.
Detroit is an environment that everybody hears sort of sad stories about Detroit. Mm-hmm. I have been there a couple of times, and I saw those same sad stories.
Right.
But I also saw in that trough between the waves, people from all walks of life, regardless of class, regardless of ethnic differences, all kind of pulling together towards the same goal. I mean, you go up to Dearborn, and there's people in the Arab community there from half a dozen countries, all working just as hard to create small businesses mm-hmm. and put people to work mm-hmm. in the same way that people are in the inner city,
right.
in the same way that people are in the wealthy, you know, lily white suburbs, in the same way that they are in Hamtramck, where there's, you know, 27 languages spoken in the public school system.
Oh, I know.
It's such a vibrant, incredible place, and the people there have picked up where society has sort of let them down. So there's a self-sufficiency there that's just incredible.
Yeah.
We went to the Eastern Market one day,
and I
could have done the entire show there. only because, not because there's so many different foods, but because of the stories we found. There's a place there called Love's Pies. It is the best pie that I've ever eaten in my life, hands down. So
what
it's worth going just for that. Chess pie, sweet potato pie, blueberry pie, buttermilk custard pie, bean pie. I mean, it's just amazing. But this is a family, a mother, a son, and a husband who had, they needed jobs. And they said, what do we know how to do? Mom's a great baker. Let's make pies and sell them at the farmer's market. We met a woman who was selling iced tea, and we drank her iced tea. And I said, oh, my God, this is amazing. It was bottled product. And she said, yeah. She said, you know, there's 12 of us in our family, uncles, dads, my brothers, myself. Three quarters of the people in our family were unemployed. And we always joke, what do we do best? Grandpa makes the best sweet tea in the whole world. So now they've marketed it. It's been sold in 8 or 9 states.
What's it called?
They've got, I'm blanking on the name.
I can look it up.
There's
That's exciting.
Yeah, they now have like 20 employees. They're distributing it all over the place. And it's the most incredible thing. There's some guys there from a restaurant that were making sausage and pâtés. And their business had flatlined in the restaurant. So they started coming to the market and wholesaling product as well to other restaurants. And these stories, the social change that's come about because of people making a difference in the food world is just incredible in Detroit. And instead of it being hard to find those stories, it's really easy because it's everywhere. And I was just, I was thrilled by it.
How much time did you spend there?
We're there for a week shooting.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was the most bizarre thing? I mean, do you always have this in bizarre shops?
The salted, fermented fish pizza that a Pakistani family who runs a little mom-and-pop pizza shop in Hamtramck was making.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it good?
I liked it because I like anchovies on pizza. They sell it to people from northern India and Pakistan. Yeah. Who are living in, it's literally that. They have 20 different pizzas. Their best seller is still tomato sauce and cheese. But their fellow countrymen love that salted fish pizza.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Best part of my show.
Now, you were talking about how New York sort of is, I wouldn't say pinnacle, but it sets standards, stuff has changed, stuff comes through there. Well,
it's the most dynamic food city on the planet.
Right. What advantages would you say LA has, or what is it that makes LA unique?
Access to produce, consistency of season, a free spirit with experimentation, a laid back, democratic, egalitarian lifestyle. I mean, what's amazing about restaurants in general is that it's one of the few environments where the wealthiest, the most famous, the most elite of society can be in the same room with, you know, the least desirable elements of society, or the people on the fringes, however you want to put it. It is you go to Pierre's lamb sandwich joint or Mozza for pizza, and you'll see people from all walks of life, you know, the famous and the unfamous, and the infamous. And that's something in Los Angeles is even... It's true in any city, but it's even more heightened here. Because, and we even refer to it in the restaurant industry as the Californication of restaurant service. Because this new casual style is really something that came out of the West Coast dining experience. Fancy European style service and dining that would be more recognizable in the 1950s than it is now is fading from fashion quickly, quickly, quickly. And even in the fanciest restaurants in New York, most places you can walk in there with a jeans and a t-shirt. It's got to be nice jeans and a nice t-shirt, but you still walk in there that way. I was in a restaurant the other night in Los Angeles that's, you know, arguably the hottest restaurant in one of the most sophisticated cities in the world. And there were people there in flip-flops and shorts and t-shirts.
That's
and
crazy.
I was, you know, and the restaurant owner, Michael Voltaggio, an Inc. restaurant, has designed the restaurant that way. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So tell me more about this pop-up restaurant concept. Is it nerve-wracking? How long have you guys been working on it?
It's terrible. I want to go into the kitchen and keep going. yeah, it's very nerve-wracking. We've been working on it for 4 or 5 days. Obviously, not only do I have to deal with a kitchen and putting out the food, but I have to make a television show.
Oh, wow.
At the same time. So if you, from where you're standing, you turn around, all of a sudden that has come to life. And That's insane.
And when will, like, customers will come in and
6 o'clock.
Wow.
And they're paying money.
Tonight?
Yes.
Oh, my God. They're paying money. They're paying money. So their expectations.
Well, that's it. We actually have paying customers. Money's going to LA Food Bank.
Oh, that's cool.
But the... Yeah.
When does the episode air?
This will air in July or August.
Okay. How many? Wow, you're a busy man.
Yeah.
How many episodes have you shot for? Is this just for
about
the
100?
Wow.
Of Bizarre Foods, yeah.
And this season, how many?
This season starts January 23rd. 10 that'll air in January through March, and 10 more in July through September.
And this is part of the second half.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to keep you. I know you got to give me to go back. I saw some. What were those little? Were those robin eggs? What were those eggs? Yeah.
Quail eggs. Yeah, it's going into the steak tartare, the raw ox tongue tartare.
Can you share the menu with us? Or is that
something? Oh, no, absolutely. We're doing an octopus salad. I'm doing a sea urchin in aspic with yuzu and pickled vegetables. I'm doing a linguine with clams, but instead of linguine, I'm using raw clams cut into noodle shapes for the pasta. I'm doing a pig intestine and grilled lamb plate. I'm doing a trio of tongue. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, couple last questions. Yeah. What's the most bizarre thing you've ever eaten?
It probably has to be, you know, walking up to a cow in with the Maasai tribe and bleeding it and drinking its blood and sending it on its merry way. It's a sustainable eating practice, but it's how they have breakfast.
Is it good?
I liked it.
Really?
Yeah, with the fermented milk that they serve with it, the sort of homemade yogurt, it's not bad.
It's gamey? What's it taste like?
It tastes like an old Band-Aid that you were sucking on.
And what's the
tastes like blood.
What's the best thing you've ever eaten in L.A.?
You know, well, I love the burger places, but there's the Oaxacan taco place, the taco truck that cruises around Santa Monica that I just adore.
Oaxaca.
Oh, and buttermilk truck, the breakfast place that young lady runs, extraordinary.
I gotta get that.
Extraordinary. So it's good. I'll tell you, I had the meals that I had on this trip at Animal and at Inc. and at Nobu, just fantastic. Really special food out here. I love it. It's really come into its own as a dining city.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye.
That was my interview with Andrew Zimmern, and he is awesome. So make sure you check out Bizarre Foods America when it debuts again, 10 p.m. January 23rd on Travel Channel. And thanks for listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby today. And make sure you tune back in. We have to thank Andrew Zimmern, our guest, NPR West, Patrick the Amazing, engineer who made it happen, GBK Gifting Suites, as well as Voskos Lip Balm. Check out voskos.com. It's more than Greek yogurt. Thanks for listening. Take care.